The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
Today's a little bit different. Not just because I have a beard. Not just because I'm sitting. This is my fatherly posture right here. Today's a little bit different. Right? Summerside as a church, it's committed, I am committed to the authority of God's word. And so what that means in practice is that Sunday after Sunday, what we do is work through books of the Bible. That you don't come here and you're not served at all by having me wax eloquent on my opinions about spiritual matters. That you and I, that God's people, are best served by God's word. But to put it frank, God's word, the Bible, is our authority in all things. And so how that works out in practice is generally what we do is we preach through books of the Bible. Sometimes we go through them fairly quickly and sometimes we crawl through them. We study God's word because it is our authority. Today we're doing something different. Today is like a family chat. So if this is your first Sunday, this isn't what we do all the time. But this is a unique opportunity where we as a church can refocus and examine our vision, our mission, our values, what makes us tick going forward. You know, values, vision, mission, these are actually incredibly important realities for every organization. I want to give you a few examples of vision statements, of mission statements up on the screen. I'm going to open this up and I want you to guess who they're from. Here's the first one. So this organization exists for this purpose, so that every person has the opportunity to achieve his or her fullest potential and participate in and contribute to all aspects of life. Anybody have a guess who that is? It's a nonprofit. Special Olympics? No. Community Living? No. Getting closer. I heard it. Goodwill. Goodwill. There you go. 1,000 points for you. Here's one. Our mission is to empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. Who's this? You use their products every day. Microsoft. It's good. That one was a little bit easier, so that'll be 500 points. Here's one. We ignite opportunity by setting the world in motion. I'll give you a hint. You use your phone if you're downtown and you need a ride somewhere. Uber. Although that's a bit much. Setting the world in motion. Like, I think that's God's job. Anyway. Okay, here's one. To organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. Google. They didn't mention spying on you, unfortunately. That's in the fine print of their mission. Just joking. Google heard that. All of your Android devices just heard that. I'm going to get served papers within 20 minutes, I guarantee you. Here's one. To refresh the world in mind and body and spirit. To inspire moments of optimism and happiness through our brands and actions. Coca-Cola. That's good. That's good. Man, they said it, you know, it's not just like, we just want to make a lot of money by having a good product that people drink. It's inspire moments of optimism and happiness through our brands. That's amazing. So you get the point, right? I mean, vision is important, and even so with a church. It's easy to get distracted. You know, there's no end to causes, initiatives, programs that we could invest our time, our money, and our people in. There's no end to things that we could say yes to. The tension comes out of the reality that our resources, are not infinite. We only have so much time. We only have so much energy. We only have so much financial resources. And we don't have an endless mass of people. Our resources are limited. So what that means is that we have to steward the gifts that God has given us and focus in laser-like to make sure that we are in step with where God is leading us. There are so many things that we could do. What is it that we're going to do? Now, the good news is that Jesus, as far as his church is concerned, doesn't give them a blank slate as far as mission. Jesus doesn't look at his church and say, I don't know. I mean, whatever you want to do, wherever you want to eat out is fine. Whatever you think you should be doing as a church is great with me. Jesus has given us his mission. Every church in the entire world that submits to Christ as King ought to have, should have, the same mission. And it comes out of the Great Commission. This is out of Matthew 28. This is a foundational missions text. I'm sure you've heard this before if you have any familiarity with church. The context here is Jesus as the resurrected King. So God has come in the flesh. Jesus has lived the life that you never could live. Absolute perfect obedience. Jesus died the death that you and I deserve because of our sin. But Jesus was raised from the dead in victory over sin, over hell, over death. And what he does in his resurrection is he doesn't just say, I've done it all, I'll see you guys later, but he begins to gather a people for himself. This was always his dream. This was always God's plan, to gather a people for himself that would reflect his character to the world around them. That would be his image in his creation. And here's what he promises his disciples. In light of his resurrection and his reign as King and as Lord, he says this. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I love this first clause that we are given here. Jesus doesn't just say what we're supposed to do. He says what has been done. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Because Jesus is the Lord, because he is the King, because he is ruling and reigning as the resurrected Lord, he has authority to commission his church. I can't do this. You can't do this. Moses couldn't do this. Abraham couldn't do this. David couldn't do this. Only the resurrected King has the authority to initiate something like this. And because of his authority, because of his cosmic authority, he has charged us with going and making disciples of all nations, to make disciples here at home, to make disciples where Christ is not known. We're to baptize them. We're to teach them everything that he has commanded. And I love this last section of the Great Commission. He says, because I have authority, I'm sending you out. But you were not merely cogs in a machine sent out to do my bidding. He says, as you go, because of my authority, beware of this. I am with you. That makes all the difference. Do you recognize that? I would not want to go out and make disciples. I would not invite you to go out and make disciples if Jesus wasn't with you. If we were doing this in the flesh, if we were doing this apart from his presence and his authority, there would be no hope. It would be terrifying. It would be fruitless. It would be pointless. But he has authority because he's raised from the dead and he's given us the promise of his presence with us. So this Summerside, very simply, is our mission. Now, churches naturally, and I think wisely, tend to utilize language, their own language, to capture this essence, to own it a little bit, to have something that's familiar that perhaps rolls off the tongue, just to help gather us around an idea. But here's the question. How are we going to do this? Like, really? How are we going to make disciples? How do we know when we've succeeded? What kind of disciples are we actually trying to make? I mean, this is beautiful and glorious and lofty, but practically speaking, how do we do this? Are we doing it? You know, are we getting an A+ on this, or are we getting an F-? Right? And before I share kind of where we've landed as far as our mission for the next stage of our church, I think it's important to answer the question of how we got here. Okay? To arrive and to land where we did three things. Spend time looking at the past. Summerside existed long before me, and it will exist, Lord willing, long after me. Some of you have been a part of Summerside for decades, and you have invested your blood, your sweat, your tears, and your resources in seeing God move and work here. And I want to commend you for your efforts, for your faithfulness, and for your good work. We have a rich history here at Summerside, and one that I am so proud to be a part of. So this isn't me coming in saying, okay, let's do a complete 180. Everything from the past is poo-poo, and everything for the future is going to be woo-woo, right? We're going to honor the past. What God has done here is beautiful. I chose to attend this church before becoming a pastor, right? I didn't come here looking for a paycheck. I came here because I love you folks. My wife and I dropped in one Sunday looking for a church to attend, and we loved it. We were blown away by the community. We were blown away by what God was doing, and we're so thankful that we're a part of it. And so this is really a building off of our history. Secondly, we spend time looking around at the realities of both our community and our culture. There's no point in coming up with a mission or a vision, coming up with values or a great idea if it doesn't actually work with our community. So we spend time assessing the needs, the brokenness, the hurt in our community. Looking at places like Summerside, looking at places like Pond Mills, Glen Cairn, Dorchester. Looking around at our community and saying, where are the opportunities and the needs? And secondly, we looked at our culture. Saying, you know, what trends are we noticing here? There's no point in unveiling something that completely falls flat because it's not addressing the reality of the world, of where our culture is at. And then finally, we looked at you, our people, truly our most valuable resource. Saying, who has God brought to our midst? What gifts do we notice in our people? What areas are our people passionate about? What is it that excites our people? What is it that our people do very, very well? The greatest gift that God has given us as leaders, as pastors and as elders of Summerside, is you folks. And so as we looked around, we looked at our past, what God has been doing. We looked at our community, the needs and the opportunities. And we looked at our church and saying, who has God brought here? And put all that together. And here's very simply where we've landed. Summerside's mission going forward, our commitment and our vision is this. We exist to make everyday disciples who make disciples every day. We exist to develop everyday disciples who make disciples every day. There's a few things here that I want to define for you. The word disciple, very simply, means somebody who follows Christ. Somebody who obeys Christ. Somebody who loves him and follows him. This can be somebody who is a brand new Christian, or this can be somebody who's been around the block and is a stable old saint. A disciple is somebody who is in progress in following Christ. So what do I mean, first of all, by everyday disciple? Everyday disciple. Well, the central job description of a disciple is to follow Jesus and invite others to do the same. So an everyday disciple just means this: a common, regular, old-fashioned, regular Joe, regular Jane, follower of Jesus. Here's the point. Making disciples is not the job of the pastors. It's not exclusively the job of the elders. It's not exclusively the job of the members. It's not exclusively the job of just those who are a little bit more gifted, who have theological training, who have all the answers, who are extroverts, who have time and energy, and who have more money. And there's no end to how easily we can discount our own ability to participate in this mission. But here's the reality. Your mission, my mission, if you are a follower of Christ, is to make disciples. It's not the job of the elite Christians or the super spiritual Christians. It's all of our jobs. An everyday disciple is just a regular old-fashioned disciple. The everyday disciples, regular disciples, exist to make disciples every day, to invite people wherever they're at on their journey to follow Christ, to submit to him as king, to find their life in him, to find freedom in him, and to do that every day. That second every day, I recognize that if you are recovering from a surgery and you are in recovery and you are sleeping for a day, it doesn't mean that you have failed the mission of God here at Summerside. Right? It doesn't matter that if you're on a quiet retreat out somewhere and you don't speak to anybody for 24 hours that you've missed the heart of what I'm driving at. Here's the point, though. The soccer game you take your kids to, the board that you're a part of, the place that you work, the neighbors that live next door, the children in your home, the friendships, the relationships, the network that you are a part of provide opportunities for you that I want you to take advantage of, that I want to invite you by God's grace to leverage for the good of the gospel, so that we exist to make disciples every day. That it's not a once-a-week kind of thing where we gather together and we put on our Jesus follower hat and we talk a good talk and we walk a good walk here in this building. But then when we go out from here, Jesus is a footnote to our lives. No, what we want to see is that wherever you are at, wherever God has placed you, whether it be school, home, work, or the retirement home, that you live with a passion to see people find their hope and freedom in Jesus. And that every day our people are out there doing the hard work of making disciples. So why did we land here? Why this emphasis on you? Well, I'm utterly convinced. In 2019, the idea that we as a church put on a great show and that somehow people will just randomly walk up and knock on our door, come on in, and experience transformation is highly unlikely. The vast majority of people in our community, even if they hit quote-unquote rock bottom, aren't going to seek out a church's help. We can't expect to simply attract people passively, right? The reality is, if we are going to effectively reach people, it's going to happen through you. It's going to happen through you doing the hard work of loving and caring and serving and pointing people to Jesus. The most powerful force for the kingdom of God in this room is not me. Right? It's you. My job is just to teach. To teach and to lead. We can do far more together, I think, than any of us realize. Why? Because the Spirit of God is with us. And the authority of Christ goes with us. So let's kind of address the elephant in the room. Asking a Christian, me asking you, have you ever discipled somebody? Should be like asking a fish, have you ever swam in water? Right? Truthfully. It's our job description. It's what God has called us to do. But I recognize that for many of you, for much of my life, it wasn't a reality. And that can bring about feelings of shame or embarrassment that, you know, man, I'm not even doing the one thing that I'm called to do. I don't even know how I could do that. If you've never discipled somebody, let me ask you something. Has anybody ever taught you how to disciple somebody? Has anybody ever modeled for you how to disciple somebody? You know, I'm amazed. This just dawned on me over the last 2 years, how often I read books on discipleship, hear talks on discipleship, and it's always kept in the theoretical realm. The importance of discipleship. What we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. But as far as walking with somebody hand in hand and saying, hey, we're going to help you do the one thing, the central thing that God has called you to do in making disciples. Right? That's the job of the pastors and the elders. Don't be discouraged. This is what we want to fix. We want to equip you to be able to do the things that God has called you to do. We want to avoid you being able to come and play the role of spectator or consumer. Why? Because that's not going to lead to your growth. That's not going to lead you to joy. And that's not going to lead you to being used by God in exciting and incredible ways. So our commitment to you is to help you be able to step into this mission, to be an everyday disciple who makes disciples in every day. Now, I'm going to need some help here because I'm going to hand out a piece of paper. All right? I didn't know how else to do this without just having you like give away the climax of the movie before. So I need like 10 people to come up here and help me just hand. There's a whole bunch of stacks here. All right, we can do it. That's it. Good, good. Also, when you come up, you're actually volunteering for a bunch of other stuff, but we'll talk about that later. So just hand them out as you're able. Get them passed out. I'm just going to walk through this. Here's what I'm going to invite you to do. Tuck that in your Bible. And if you call Summerside home, begin to pray and pray passionately that God would allow us to obey him in this. That we would fulfill these. And that this would be true of us. Okay. I just want to highlight this and then you can take it home. After I highlight it, make mention of a few things. I'm going to invite you to spend a few minutes praying. Don't worry, you don't have to pray out loud. I'll explain it all, and we're going to commit this to God. Next week, I will begin looking at the second value, but I just want to touch on a few things here. So first of all, there's four values that we are absolutely committed to. Are we all together? Does pretty much everybody have a paper? We're good? Okay. The first one is this, that we are disciple makers. It's reiterating our mission, that we can't escape this reality, that this is what we are called to do. We are disciple makers. We don't exist to gather people, to just attract a crowd, to entertain people. We exist to disciple people, to make disciples. There's many ways that you can have a hand in that. There's many ways that God can use you. We'll be discussing those and learning those over the coming year. But central to our vision is this value, this reality that we are disciple makers. Here's the second value that I think is really important. We are a family. The Bible describes the church in a bunch of different ways, with different, what I would say, metaphors. This image of a family is beautiful. And it's one that really strikes me, because here's the reality. A family experiences conflict. A family has awkward people in it. A family disagrees, but a family sticks together. A family cares for one another. A family is known to one another. This speaks to our culture here in the church, who we are and how we interact. That when somebody's in a jam, when somebody's struggling, each of us have a responsibility to care for them and love them as we are able, because we are a family. One of the goals of this year that we are working through, even as elders, is to revisit our membership process and our understanding of membership. And I'm going to be teaching on this. Membership at Summerside, joining a church, is not like joining a club. It's a covenant to the family to invest in, to serve, to give, to care, to love, to fall under the leadership of a local church, to invest yourself fully. I'm happy to explore that with you. We are a family, and we're going to continue to emphasize that. Here's our third value. We are great neighbors, period. It's not we are great neighbors when people don't park in our parking lot, right? Or we are great neighbors when people don't litter on our property, right? Or we are great neighbors when people come into our building and they look, act, and think exactly like us. No, we are great neighbors. That's what the fun fair is all about. It's an opportunity to show people that we are great neighbors and that we are not here just to get them to come here, to come on Sunday. That we exist to serve them and to love them and to care for them. This is an area that I'm excited with you to take steps in over the coming year. And finally, if there's anything needed in 2019, at least in my own heart, this is it. We are bold in Christ. If you are active in making disciples, if you want to love difficult people that are a part of your family here at Summerside, if you want to take that awkward step of talking to your neighbor, of really pursuing them in relationship, you're going to need to be bold in Christ. Not bold and aggressive and condescending and arrogant, but bold in Christ. To speak the truth in love. To love people. For you, this may mean having the courage and the boldness to walk up to somebody who's new here at Summerside after the service. For you, this may mean opening your community group to somebody who's a little bit difficult. For you, this may mean offering hospitality to somebody who just seems to talk a lot. You see, these values are designed to govern and to help us as a church, but also to give you an image or a picture of what it means to be an everyday disciple. These values apply, look at them, not only to us as a church, but for what we want for you as well. I want you to be a disciple maker. I want you to have a family that loves you and that you love deeply. I want you to be a great neighbor wherever you are. whatever community you're in, whatever building you're in, whatever property you live on, think about your neighbors. I want you to love them and care for them well. Be a great neighbor. And I want you to do all of that with boldness in Christ. Not in the confidence in the flesh or your own ability, but being bold in Christ. These are the values that are going to help keep us on the pathway that God has for us. I'm just going to conclude by looking at the two bottom sections here, the steps to discipleship. I want you to know these really well. Because it's one thing for somebody to see, oh, there's a Connections 1 class coming up. Well, what's that? And it's another thing for you to seek them out after the service, to be bold in Christ, introduce yourself to them, connect with them, and then to invite them to come on out. Right? These are our strategic kind of linchpins or steps that we want people to take. So you'll see it there. Come, connect, engage, and expand. This is the journey that we want people on. First of all, as they come and experience the service, we want them to attend Summerside Explore. We're rebranding Connections 1. That's for another day. That Connections 1 is really the first step in getting to know Summerside and seeing who we are. What are we all about? Helping them get more connected. If you invite a friend, invite them to Connections. If you meet somebody after church, invite them to come on out to Connections. And you can come with them. I will happily feed you. Secondly, we want to see people begin to connect, and that means building relationships, building friendships. And part of one of the more effective ways of doing this is by seeing people get involved. If somebody's been coming for a few weeks, a few months, and you've been getting to know them, and you serve as an usher or a greeter, you know, talk to the leadership of the Embrace team, but invite them to recruit. Invite them. If you're involved in children's ministry, you can recruit people. Talk to Michelle. Talk to Carissa. If you're involved in the worship team, if you're involved in caring for seniors, you can recruit. We as ministry leaders give you that permission. Absolutely. We want to see people not only connect, but really engage. Not just come, make a few relationships, find a place that they can serve once a month, and then say, okay, your discipleship is complete. No, we want to see people really engage what God has for them. And so for that, we want them to join a community group. If you're a part of Summerside and you're not a part of community group, we're going to have to talk about that. And we're doing everything we can. We haven't made it easy on you. Sometimes our groups are all full, but we're going to work hard on that. And we're working hard on that right now. That's why you need the Church Center app. And secondly, once you're in a community group, we want you to participate in opportunities to grow via classes and training. This is an area that we're investing in heavily. We're going to unroll some of these new classes and training opportunities so that we can accelerate and help accelerate people's growth. And finally, we want to see the kingdom of God, the mission of God, expand beyond our borders. So we want people to find a place on mission using their unique gifts and talents. And we want people to live their lives with gospel intentionality that are active in making disciples every day. That's the journey that we want for people. So whether you are new here, well, that's the pathway we want to see you go. That's what we want to see you walk. If you are a ministry leader here, this is what we want you to be encouraging people to partake and to follow. And I have there just an example of, as elders, we got together around the whiteboard and said, let's describe a disciple. What is it that we want to see our people exhibit, know, believe, or do? We broke it up between head, heart, and hands. This is our heart. This is our desire for you. As a pastor, this is, as an elders board, this is our pastoral heart on paper for you. What do we long for? We long for you to submit to God's word as the ultimate authority. There is so much confusion out there. So many mixed messages. We want to build you and equip you to submit to God's word as authority. And to have a growing theological depth and awareness. So that you understand what the Bible teaches and the implications of that. We want you to have a heart that has been transformed by Christ. so that you love Jesus absolutely and supremely. That there is no greater treasure in your life than Jesus. That you would trade everything to know him more. That's my prayer for you. That you would love Jesus supremely. And that you would love your neighbors actively. What about your hands, your abilities? We want to see our people characterized by radical generosity. That our people live in ways that are hard to explain without the gospel. That there's something different about Summerside people. We want to see you have the ability to articulate, to express, to share the gospel with clarity and conviction. Whether that be sharing your God story, what God has done in your life, dealing with difficult issues in society, or just simply proclaiming the truth of what God has accomplished in Jesus. This is our heart for you, and this is what we want for you. To be transformed by Jesus in your head, your heart, and your hands. So why are we doing all of this? What's the point of all of this? I offer it to you this way. You know that neighbor down the street with the noisy kids? You know that coworker who talks too much? You know that friend who's fallen on hard times? You know that person that you've just reconnected with after a bunch of years of radio silence? Imagine them sitting beside you in worship. Imagine them worshiping Jesus. Now imagine that God has used you to play a part in that. That's what we want for you. Because I'm not going to reach your friends. I'm not going to reach your family. I mean, you can bring them, but if they're going to come, it's only because you've done the hard work of loving them and earning their trust and showing them that it's worth pursuing. God has people in your life that he has tasked you, precious souls that will exist for eternity, that he has entrusted to you. My prayer, our prayer as a church, is that you will grow to being an everyday disciple who makes disciples every day. We've gone long. A sermon like this is difficult to time. I apologize for that. Here's what I'm going to invite you to do. I'm going to invite you to take this home, spend some time being familiar with it. It's homework, right? It is. If you're new here, it's not homework for you. Okay? You're auditing maybe, right? But if you call Summerside home, it's straight up, it's the least you can do, right? Let's get familiar with it. Work through in your own heart. Where are you on this discipleship pathway? What is preventing you from being an everyday disciple who makes disciples? We're going to do this, and we're going to do it together. Because Jesus has all authority, and he is with us as we step out in faith. If you have any questions about this, come and talk to me. Now, over the coming weeks, I'm going to be preaching through what this looks like in practice. What does it mean for us to be a family is next week? What does it mean for us to be great neighbors? What does it mean for us to be bold in Christ? And over the coming few years, we're going to have a number of sermon series that really address these things so that we can be equipped to carry out the mission that God has for us. Are you excited? Right? Do you want to see God work in our midst? I do, and I fully believe that because of what God has done in Christ, because of his authority, because of his presence, the best days for Summerside are in the future. Because God's going to continue to work, and he's going to continue to move. So let me pray and commit this to him. God, we've put a lot of time and energy into clarifying and articulating and expressing this. And I do believe that we have a new and higher degree of clarity of thinking, of thought, of where and how we invest our time, our resources, and our people. But all this strategy is nothing, God, without you working. None of this in and of itself can transform dead hearts into living hearts. None of this can bring about new birth. None of this can save people's souls from an eternity apart from you. We're not afraid. We're not uncertain, God, because we know that you, Jesus, are the risen King, that you have all authority, and that you are with us. And so we're going to step out in faith. We're going to step out in boldness. We're going to trust you for what comes next. And we're going to trust, God, that you use our work, that you use our efforts. All of this is simply stewarding what it is that you've given us. What we desperately long for is for your Spirit to come and to move in our midst. So God, do that. For my brothers and sisters here who have never made a disciple, would this be the year that they are used by you to see somebody come to faith? God, for those who are well-equipped and well-experienced in this area, would you set their hearts afire for this new stage of the journey, that they would be used by you in even greater ways? Father, would you help us to grow and develop believers in our midst? We do all of this, Jesus, because we have seen glimpses of your beauty, of your holiness, of your majesty, and we want to invite people into that. We love you, Jesus. We proclaim your infinite beauty, majesty, and glory. Use our humble works, we pray. Be pleased to allow your face to shine on us. We commit all of this to you. All of our plans, all of our resources, all of our people. We commit it all to you and ask that you would be pleased and that you would move. For we ask this all in the name of the one who has authority and the one who is going ahead of us, Jesus our Lord. Amen.